Here we go.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Loud noises!
I know kung fu.
This is madness!
Where are you?
Hey everyone, and welcome to Real Talk. I am Jeremy, aka the Real Life Godzilla. And here's the Dragon Warrior himself.
Duh.
I'm a dragon.
Can you believe that it's already episode 60?
No.
Does this mean we're famous?
I think so.
You think so?
We hit this point, so automatically means we've now made it into fame territory.
I'm gonna say you're right. Can I get your autograph?
Sure.
Good. Well, it's been a great ride. Can't wait for 60 more. I hope we're still friends. I hope that we still have a purpose to do this together. Maybe we'll get married.
Maybe. Maybe by the time we get to episode 120, same-sex marriage will be legal in the state of Texas. Maybe not.
Probably.
But maybe.
It's Texas. It's not going to happen.
But maybe.
I hope that everybody checked out the interview we did with Ryan Connolly from...
Film Riot? You're not up to a good start.
Do you know how many times that I've said that on the intro? Like, I re-recorded everything about 20 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I said Ryan Connolly, Film Riot, Ryan Connolly, Film Riot, Ryan. I did about 25 takes of that damn intro for part one. And now when it comes to a live show, I'm like, huh, what does he make?
Ryan Connolly of Riot Film.
lost it. So if you haven't checked out our interview we released today of Ryan Connolly from Film Riot, go do it. It's on iTunes. It's on anywhere else you'd listen to podcasts. It's on our website. It's a really great interview. We have a lot of fun with it. I think you'll get some laughs out of it, or you'll just continue to hate us.
Yeah, and then possibly end up hating him too. Or maybe you'll end up liking him more and leaving us and just going and watching him and never coming back to us. It's possible.
It's very possible. We're hoping to steal his entire audience.
That is the goal.
The goal is to put him out of business.
And so far, it's not working.
No. We're failing miserably. But anyways, we have a fun-packed show for you tonight. We got a lot of news to get through. I have created a very special voiceover with Doug. He's going to love it. And also, we'll be giving away a game. Doug, what game are we giving away?
We're giving away Gone Home for Steam.
Ooh. What's that about? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, man, it's hard to explain without, like, giving away too many spoilers. I guess a rundown would be you play as this girl who comes home from, like, a year abroad, and you get to your family's house, and it is empty. No one is there. And you just explore the house, you find clues, and as you find clues and stuff, the story kind of pieces itself together as to why no one is there or where they may be and all this stuff. And it's just, it's really great. The soundtrack's amazing, and it looks great. Almost everything can be, like, picked up or looked at or touched or opened or closed and all this stuff. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
And I think something that some viewers may have noticed is that you've changed spots.
I did. I just moved.
People can't see your bookcase anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's now over there. It's kind of behind me. It used to be over there.
And now you're here.
But now I'm here because this makes the most sense. Because you can see like the Hobbit poster, some of the artwork I got at Alamo City Comic Con, and then a Film Riot poster over there. And
I sure hope your fiance walks behind you in just like her bra and panties.
Nope, like, not going to happen.
She's just like, oh, I forgot you were right here now.
One, the office door is closed. And
oh, does that mean when the office door is closed, does that mean, is that when the magic's happening?
That means we're doing a show and not to come in.
Yeah, the magic.
Yeah.
We would be the magic.
Otherwise, I'd have like a huge Irish Wolfhound mix like right here the entire time. He'd be like, hey, I'm your dog.
Hey, Doug, so, I took your guys' advice, and I actually watched House of Cards.
Finally.
I've gotten three episodes in now. I'm addicted.
But it's so good. Told you. For those of you listening, we talked about, or if you listen to our interview with Ryan, we talked about House of Cards a little bit, and Jeremy's over there like, I haven't watched any of the shows you guys are talking about.
I was so out of the loop.
Like,
I was
both like,
out of it.
Get out of here and go listen to it or watch it now. Like, House of Cards is...
It's stupendous. I mean, it's so vicious. It's so cool. All right, well, let's get into the news, Doug. I'm sure people want to hear about the news and not about our boring lives.
My lives have not been very boring lately. They've been really interesting.
News.
And here we...
Nope.
Nope.
We are starting over again, everyone. From scratch.
I am 0-2. All right, here we go. It's the most spectacular, magnificent, and important news you'll hear all day. Or not. All right, so...
So loud in my eardrums.
Is that a little loud?
That drop was so loud.
Was it a little loud? I did that on purpose.
Oh, punishment.
So Space Jam 2 is in development. Did you know that? Were you a big fan of Space Jam growing up? I loved it.
You know what? I was as a kid, but it's one of those movies that I don't feel has really aged well. Like, it's not that it looks bad or anything, but it's just like,
no, you're wow. Really, you definitely see Michael Jordan, like, he's not a very good actor about even playing himself.
Yeah, and it's just, like, you know, the time it's like, oh, man, look at the, you know, kind of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's like, look at this, like, amazing kind of blend of the two.
Whoa.
Roger Rabbit, don't get me wrong, is, like, was still way ahead of this in how it looks. Like, this one is not even close to as well done as that one is, but this one is just not as good.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's just, this is just a huge marketing play. I remember I owned, like, so much, like, merchandise from, like, this movie.
Well, they're saying that LeBron James is attached to actually star in the film. And then there's reports saying that he's not, but they are still remaking it. I don't know which way it goes. I do think that they're going to do it because look at the success of all the brands that they're kind of bringing back into style from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that Looney Tunes would have to come back in some fashion.
It seems like it's about time for them to kind of try to make their comeback.
If the Muppets can do it, so can they.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I mean, it's, you don't see a lot of the old kind of traditional cartoons anymore. Everything is now CG. And
would you want to build a snowman?
What are you? Is it Frozen? Are you singing Frozen to me?
You said CG, and that's all the first thing that popped into my head. Do you want to build a snowman?
Well, I even mean just stuff that's on like Nickelodeon and like Cartoon Network these days. Is that a lot of these like kid cartoons are not really cartoons anymore? A lot of it is done.
Hey, Phineas and Ferb. Is the SHIT.
Don't get me wrong, there's still some. I mean, even like Family Guy and The Simpsons. I mean, Family Guy, they do all their animations on the computers, and it takes them, I think they said, like 4 weeks to get an episode out. Simpsons still hand draws theirs. It takes them 9 months to get an episode out.
9 months?
Yeah, isn't that retarded? So that's why The Simpsons right now is kind of lagging, is because you have shows like South Park, 4 days to make an episode.
Are you kidding me?
Four days.
They don't turn sideways.
Well, but everything they do is all on the computer, and you can even see in the seasons how their stuff just gets better and better and better as they've developed the technology to do their sort of animation. But since they do it all on the computer and a lot of it is just cut and paste sort of work, it's easy. Whereas you have people hand drawing The Simpsons, it takes months.
That's insane.
But my point is, you don't really see a lot of that. I don't know how well Looney Tunes would do now. I don't know. I think that the audience has kind of shifted. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. But again, everything else seems to be all CG. And it's different.
Well, speaking of CG, this movie has a ton of it. The Fantastic Four is being brought back to the silver screen with Jamie Bell, Kate Mara, Michael B. Jordan, and Miles Teller. What do you think about that?
I am pretty excited about this. What I like is that it's a young cast. Everyone is in like their mid-20s, and so we may see a younger kind of version of these characters. Maybe a little more relatable to the current audience. Like, I didn't really like the last Fantastic Four movies. Like, I know that they're like supposed to be older superheroes, essentially. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, it was just, it didn't do it for me. I do like most of the people that they've cast. I like Kate Mara, House of Cards. She's awesome. Awesome in American
I'm
Horror
in love
Story.
With her.
Yeah.
I'll say
I'm really, name. I really like Michael B. Jordan. I think a lot of the stuff that he's been in, I've really enjoyed. I am a little surprised. Just, I mean, he's Johnny Storm. She's Sue Storm. They're supposed to be brother and sister. Obviously, they can be like adopted or step or something. They'll write it in. It doesn't really matter. It is just a surprising choice that that's what they went. They probably won't even like really touch on it. It's just, again, it's like, that's a very interesting casting choice. I'm really curious to see what they do with it. But I like both of them, so.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. And Michael B. Jordan has actually been in talks with Marvel. I'm sorry, not Marvel, with DC about Green Lantern.
Really?
Yeah, but since he's taking... taking the role here with Fantastic Four, they say that talks are going to kind of stall out. But that would have been pretty cool.
You know, he's actually done the voice of Cyborg in a few of the animated things. Like the I think he was in Flashpoint. He was the voice of Cyborg in that. So since he did that, I've almost always had him in my mind to play Cyborg. And so this department kind of wants him to do that role too.
That'd be really cool too. In really sad news, I didn't lead with it because it was too depressing. We've led with deaths like a couple shows now.
Yeah.
Harold Ramis has passed away at the age of 69.
Yeah, the news broke this morning.
Very sad.
It's been, he's one of those like writers and actors and directors and stuff where it's really interesting to see, not necessarily interesting, but just how many people have posted on Twitter and stuff, and just, you know, Billy Crystal or Zach Braff, Martin, oh my gosh, Steve Martin and stuff, just all these people that are just like, I can't believe it, you know, it such a terrible loss, you know, this person influenced me, I loved working with this person. I mean, again, Rainn Wilson from The Office, because he directed a couple episodes of The Office, and Steve Carell and stuff, just
a huge outpouring of,
yeah, and that's, I mean, it's a shame that he doesn't get to see that, but I mean, how cool in a way that must be for the family, because obviously they're going through a loss, but just to see that love and respect that he is receiving and has received in his life because of all the great things, all the funny movies that he's made, and how he has touched and influenced so many people. And so many, like, the comedians and stuff that we now watch these days were influenced by the movies that he did back in, like, the 70s and 80s and stuff. And so that's cool to me in a way. Just, like, I wish that when I, you know, when I pass that, like, I mean, that I have people responding in such a way where they're like, man, you've influenced me in such a way. Like, I'm so sorry, sad to hear that you're gone. It's just, I don't know. You don't see that a lot sometimes with... people are like, oh, that sucks. Like Philip Seymour Hoffman, everyone was sad, but at the same time, you were almost mad about it because it was so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You're just, you know, and I don't know. This is just, yeah,
it's very sad. It was very unexpected too, and you know, it really leads to the question of, will we now ever see that Ghostbusters film that he really tried to push for? He really tried to push for the part three, and it never got made. It's still in limbo. Or does it now get made because it's like, well, let's honor him and let's do it. Let's
and
do
that
it
may
him.
Be it, is that you may have the people like Dan Aykroyd Bill Murray. You know, Bill Murray, I think, was the one that was kind of like,
yeah,
I don't want to do it. These scripts aren't good enough.
Yeah, he was the holdout. And Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis made the new script, and Bill Murray was like, no, it's not a Ghostbusters film.
Which is kind of ridiculous, because if he wrote it, like, of all the people, his writing credits is, like, 90% Ghostbusters. Like, I mean, there's the movies, and then there's, like, beyond the movies, but still more Ghostbusters stuff. So it's like, if anyone's going to know Ghostbusters, you'd think it would be him.
Exactly, and if who would be able to create the lore for it, it'd be him.
Yeah. So I hope they make it.
I do, too.
There's ways to
He could be a ghost.
Write his character out and make it tasteful.
He could come back as a ghost.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, and that could be the whole thing of maybe he recently passed or whatever, and like, and maybe that's why, maybe they're coming back together, or maybe they're all like retiring and stuff, like, oh, we lost him, like, it's, and they train the new guys.
Yeah.
You know, or something. I mean,
do something for it. Just bring it back.
Seriously.
Well, we're getting a television show that we just maybe didn't ask for. Again.
Bro, what are they calling it? It's not coming back as like a,
listen, I guarantee you if this thing does well, it's coming back.
Oh yeah.
We're talking about Heroes. It's called Heroes Reborn, and it's a 13-episode miniseries.
I don't know how 13 episodes counts as a miniseries. That's still, like, longer than most HBO shows.
Yeah, it's 13 episodes. It's a show. Like, it's a show. It's a season. And it's coming back in 2015. NBC signed the rights. It's so weird that they're bringing it back. It's got to be just because how many shows are coming out with, like, Gotham and...
Yeah,
and you got maybe. To... I mean, you got out of these all these superhero shows. Why not capitalize?
Well, I mean, NBC's doing Constantine, right? Isn't that NBC doing that one?
Yeah,
so,
I think they're doing that one too. Yeah.
I don't know. Heroes.
The thing with Heroes, and I'll tell you the biggest gripe that I have with it: the characters were great. I enjoyed the characters. I love the progression. The biggest problem I had with it was the fact that. That there was no action. It was all just dramatic buildup, and there was no reward at the end. Even the last episode of season one, I expected there to be this epic battle, but instead there was like, oh, here's a sword. I dropped it. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So it was anticlimactic for sure.
Yeah, and then it got hurt with the writer's strike during the second season, I believe. And then
didn't do
well when it came out for the third, and I think that was its final season. I remember being really, you know, disappointed too, because the first season was amazing. It was good. Mm-hmm. Second season, it was like, you know, it was just unfortunate that it had that happen in the middle of its season. And there's other shows that were affected that way too. Pushing Daisies being one of them on ABC. Phenomenal show. Like, I still recommend it. But first season got hit with the writer's strike. So it suffered, came back the second season, and it lost a lot of its viewership because it was off the air for so long. It's a great show. It's hilarious. It's smart. It's very well done. But even they're talking about bringing it back because it's one of those shows that has done so well after because people are finding it on, you know, Hulu or what, you know, whatever, DVDs. And
kind of like how, I mean... There's a lot of shows that are just keep coming back, like Veronica Mars. I mean, it's getting a movie now and a limited release, like a limited TV show. Like it's crazy what the demand for now can bring something back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess,
but nobody's really demanding Heroes, so keep it off the air.
I guess, you know, if it just maybe that's how they're going to try these shows out, where it's like, you know, we really liked the concept, it did really well, but we got screwed over. Let's try and bring it back. Let's do a mini series, and if it does well, we'll bring it back. If it doesn't, then oh well, we did our one-shot mini series.
I don't mean to interrupt the party here, but we do have a question that just came in off the Q&A line.
No way.
Are we going to see Doug in bra and panties?
Wait.
I'm going to select that one and say yes.
Kevin. Get out of here, Kevin.
All right, so lots of people have watched season two of House of Cards. I know we just brought it up at the top of the show. It's insane. They released, you know, if you don't know what Netflix does, they released the entire season in one shot because they said that's the way people love to watch shows now. They like to pretty much just power through them. 668,000 people finished the second season in the first weekend, Doug.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, what's crazy, that's a lot. That's only 2% of their viewership, but that's still a very freaking large number.
That's so crazy. But hey, at least between 5 and 15% of all subscribers watched at least one episode.
Yeah.
So that's huge.
That is a big number. And then the average House of Cards viewer watched 3 episodes that weekend.
I watched 3 episodes in probably a span. I went to bed last night. I watched 2 episodes before bed. I went to bed at midnight because of it. Then I woke up this morning and watched one before work. And then I got home and watched one before the show.
So you watched 4 then?
It's consuming me. No, I'm sorry. I watched 1 last night. It's consuming me.
It's good. It's so good. And it's one of those shows where, like, I just want to talk about it because of how good it is, but I don't want to ruin it for people. But it is... it's so good.
Well, let's see what other movies are good in the box office.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, coming number 5 is The Monuments Men, making $8.1 million for a total of $58 million so far. Number 4, a movie that cost upwards of $100 million to make. RoboCop, making $9.4 million for a total of $43.6 million. I'm pretty sure we're not going to get a sequel unless the DVD sales get out of control.
Yeah, unless it does. Hey, you know what movie did that? Dread. Dread did not do well in theaters.
That's true.
Nominal afterwards, and is getting a sequel.
That's very, very true. Number 3 is Pompeii. If you like volcanoes and you like scantily clad women, go see it. It made $10 million.
Hey, it's also got Jon Snow from Game of Thrones in it.
Yeah, for real.
Kit Harington, he's in it. So if you like him,
goes
there. You're a lady.
All right, number 2 is 3 Days to Kill. That's that Kevin Costner joint, making $12.3 million in its first week. And number 1, the movie that just keeps building itself up. The Lego Movie, making $31.4 million for a total of $183.2 million in 3 weeks. It's insane. It's incredible.
It will probably, I'm just going to go and guess, with not a lot coming out next weekend, it'll probably be the number one movie next weekend, making it for the whole month of February, number one movie.
I'm sorry. I just read a tweet by your fiance.
Oh, no.
She's listening.
No. No. Oh,
she said she retweeted us and said, "Watch and see if I walk by in nothing but my undies."
Oh my gosh.
Jeremy is begging for it.
Oh no.
I didn't beg. I just said, "Are we going to see it?"
Hold on, I'm going to respond to her.
Oh man. Well, while you're responding, I'm going to hit up this little intro to VoiceOvers with Doug.
Oh man, I'm not ready.
You are.
Do it.
VoiceOver audition. Doug.
All right, this week Doug is trying out for a part in a new show on Nickelodeon. It's a kid show about a crazy scientist kid. And in this scene, we will see our lead character who has to hire an assistant out of all of his friends. Doug will play his high-energied friend. Very high-energied, almost spastic. If you will. So, Doug, are you prepared for this? Have you been preparing all week?
Yeah, all week. I got the script like an hour ago.
That's not my fault.
7 hours ago.
Not my fault at all.
Whenever
I wrote it last night, sir.
But I was watching, you know, True Detectives and shows.
Now
and
it comes out. So instead of studying, you're watching the TV. All right, so let's do this, okay? I'm going to play the scientist. You are going to play Hyper, appropriately named.
All right, hold on. Let me do some stretch.
You ready for this? You want the intro again?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay. I want to hear a good voice too. Okay, here. I've been working on this voice for like 2 seconds. Here we go.
All right.
Now, out of all of you, who is the most qualified?
Oh, pick me.
Why do we sound the same?
I mean, you're doing like a scientist. I'm trying to do a little kid.
Okay. Hyper, please wait your turn.
But I'm perfect. I can follow you. Uh-huh. And then I could do things. I don't know.
Wait, what? Hold on.
I don't know what, but I could do them. I could do them really, really, really good.
Yes, but can you stay still long enough to pour liquid into a beaker?
Yep. That's me. I love beakers. Beakers are fun. You can throw them. You can eat them. And, hold, that light is flickering over there.
hyper, hyper, hyper. Have you ever built anything before? How can I trust you?
Oh yeah, I've built Lego sets from scratch, big ones, small ones, my favorite ones, or my favorite parts when I've done them. Oh my gosh, what? Oh, my favorite part is when I'm done. When I'm done, I destroy them.
I don't think you're the man for the job. I'm pretty
sure. No, I am. I'll prove it. Test me.
All right.
Woo-hoo!
Go build a model airplane.
Done.
I didn't even tell you what to make.
I heard you say air. I figured you wanted an airplane. So I built a Lego airplane, a paper airplane, a model airplane, and then I bottled some air because, I don't know, maybe you just wanted air. La la!
You were hired under one condition.
Yes.
You have to.
Hey, you want to hang out sometime?
Oh, boy.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Oh. Is that too late? Too late of a clap? Doug, that was awesome. I got a good laugh out of that one. I wish I would have made that script longer because you did really great at it. That was awesome.
Oh. Hey, so before we get to the gaming news, you want to do the thing and the thing with the game and the thing?
You mean give something away?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do it, giving away a game time.
Yeah. So if you made it this far, if I didn't drive you away, if Hyper didn't drive you away.
If Hyper didn't drive you away, you're still here and still listening. We're going to give away a game. And we're going to do that by making you listen to more of us.
It's like the greatest punishment. You get a game, but you have to listen to us. So it's like, you know, hey, sucks to be you or good to be you. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? They may love our voices.
I don't know. Do I tickle your voices?
Do I tickle your eardrum?
Mm.
Do I make you moist?
Oh, God. It's gross.
What, man? That's a sexy man voice.
I know, but the word moist is not a sexy word.
It's a sexy word. That is not a sexy sound. Don't do that again. That's okay. Now that's going to be like, now I can't say it anymore.
Yep. Ruined. Okay, so we're giving away a copy of Gone Home.
Damn it, Kevin. Wasn't I awesome too?
Yeah,
apparently. God, you get all the praise. I never get praise.
Well, it is voice auditions with Doug.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's nothing without me. I write this shit.
I'm just still waiting for the job opportunities to start rolling in.
Mm-hmm. They're going to come because they're going to need me to write it because they're going to be like, I don't know how to direct this guy. Jeremy, you're the only one that can control him.
Hey, can we give away a copy of a game now?
Moist.
Ugh, the worst.
Yes.
All right, so go listen to our interview with Ryan Connolly. It's on our website. It's also, if you're subscribed to us on iTunes and stuff, should already be in your queue. Listen to it and let us know. The first one lets us know what Ryan's favorite top three TV shows are. We'll win a copy of Gone Home on Steam. Yep.
Is that it?
I think that's it. I was going to, you know, put like a stipulation on it. Like if you've already won, then maybe, you know, let other people win. But I kind of don't care at this point. Like yeah. Today, I just don't care.
All right. So anybody,
if you've already won, do it again.
Won,
I don't care.
Get on. Get on the train. Come on, ride it. Choo-choo, and ride it. Go on, ride the train. And ride it.
Boop, boop. All right, so that's that. So let's get to the gaming news.
Come on, ride the train. Come on, and ride it. Come on, ride the train. Come. You know, you act like people don't love my voice and my singing.
I don't know if they do.
All right, we have some gaming news, some big gaming news, actually. BioShock developer Irrational has closed its shops. Founder Kevin Levine has pretty much fired everybody but 15 people.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if fired is the correct word. They're just
dude, when you
laid
close,
off.
Come on. Come on. They're fired.
But it's not like he called them in and was like, you're
how do you know?
Sucks.
Were you there?
So well, I'm guessing. Otherwise, there would be a lot more people talking about how he fired everybody but 15 people.
Okay.
It's just easier to say, oh, sorry, guys, we're closing. You're all fired except for you 15. You're not fired. You're all let go, but you 15. You 15, you're coming with me.
Well, there's good news that's come out of it. BioShock is one series that's just an amazing piece of art. If you've never played it, do so. You're missing out on a great story. And but it's not going anywhere. They're still going to continue the universe. And so we'll probably see something out of 2K at some point. Maybe another studio. I don't know. But it will live on.
That's good. I mean, the Infinite just did so well and was so well received.
Ridiculously stupid.
And that's why it was kind of like a shock, because it was just like, what? Why? You guys just did so well. And I've seen a lot of stuff where it's like, it's not because of like financial reasons. It's just a developer decision to move in a different direction. And that direction includes closing down Irrational Games and moving on with something different. But it's still just, it's kind of shocking just based again on how well Infinite did. So.
Yeah, that's very, very true. You had a news story for me.
I did. And
It's not something I put into the notes, so you'll have to.
Yeah. Okay, so The Last of Us, right? Last of Us on PlayStation apparently is a really good game. I haven't played it. I've heard phenomenal things about it, and it's one of those games that kind of makes me want to get a PS3 so I can play it.
Maybe just come, you can come over to my house.
Yeah. They have posted, I guess I don't know who made the game. I don't know what studio is behind it, but they and Sony have released on YouTube a like behind-the-scenes documentary of the
Naughty
like,
Dog.
Making of Naughty Dog? That's
Naughty
right.
Dog.
A making of the game, like just a kind of a documentary on the game, and it's an hour and 25 minutes long, and just go check it out if you like the game. I'm sure you'll probably thoroughly enjoy this documentary too. I kind of want to watch it. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm afraid to watch it because I don't want to ruin the game for me. Yeah,
it said that it's probably one of the best stories that you'll probably watch, see, play. Probably in the last 5 or 10 years, so it's crazy to say that, but that's what they
that's
say.
That's my story.
All right, so Batman Arkham Origins is a very, very awesome game. This game was announced before Origins, and it's called Arkham Origins Blackgate. This was slated to come out. I thought it was going to come out on iOS. It only was released for the Vita and the DS? 3DS. Yeah. Last fall. And it looks so cool. It looked really awesome. It's a side scroller. A 3D or 4D side scroller, whatever you want to call it. And but it's coming now, rebooted, retold, new voice acting, and it's coming to April 1st on the 360, PlayStation 3, Wii U, and the PC. That's awesome.
New voice acting. It's a new voice acting.
Yeah, they've built some voice acting into the game because I guess it didn't come with it in the first release. So,
yeah, look at that fully voiced narrative, in captive storyline.
5.1 cool. Surround sound, 2.5D graphics, hint system, navigation, object tracking, full voice narrative, captive storyline, and a bat suit from Zero Year. So, get that.
Very cool.
Get that.
If it goes to Steam and it goes, you know, it's
oh god, it's $19.99, so you'll never buy it. Just
well, the
no,
Batman
you'll
games
never
have gone.
It.
The Batman games have actually the ones I got on Steam. I mean, I think only paid like $6 a piece for those because they went on sale. The Steam normally puts the Batman games on sale for a really decent price, and this is one that's like it's already $20. So they have a spring sale. You know, it could knock it down, and I will.
You're not gonna
it.
Have a spring sale. Right when it comes out.
You
maybe
don't know
in
that.
2015.
You don't 20, know.
2015.
You
so,
don't know.
Gearbox is suing 3D Realms, which is really, really weird. Interceptor for unauthorized Duke Nukem use. the reason why I am saying that it's really strange is because of the fact that who cares? Nobody has cared about Duke Nukem in a long time.
Yeah, I'm a little confused because I didn't know there was something Duke Nukem. I guess this is in 2010. What was in 2010 that came out that they would?
They had a game that came out.
I was in the other one. Wait, I don't even know. I don't even know. I don't care. I'm with you. Like, I didn't even know there was a new Duke Nukem game. Like, he's not already public domain. Like, that's my question.
This is true. This is very true.
And based on the picture that's in this art, like the article that you posted with him and like a wife beater kind of tank top tucked into his blue jeans with like a fedora on.
Mm-hmm. It's very,
who's playing this?
It's very Last Action Hero.
Yeah. And that minigun he's holding kind of looks like a dick.
Yes. Well, it's kind of the way he works. I mean, there is a lot of innuendos in this game.
No, but look at that thing. It's got two like barrel clip barrels on the
base. Barrel balls. Yeah. Well, it's
who's
time.
Playing these games?
What?
I said, who's playing these
Not
games?
Not me. You ready to pitch something, man?
I guess. Are we already that far in the show?
Yeah. Let's go. Let's do this. All right. So listen, I'm gonna do you a solid. I didn't tell you what we're gonna pitch because
This
is for you.
Uh-oh.
And I know that this is gonna make you absolutely insanely happy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are pitching today, and this is mostly gonna be your pitch because you know the most about it. We're gonna pitch the next Harry Potter book.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Look at your eyes. They instantly went into your memory bank.
No, they're actually looking at the Harry Potter books on the bookshelf.
I know you freshly, you just reread them.
I've reread a couple of them.
Like I said, you reread them. And I want to hear, oh, there it is.
There's my new ones. These are my new Harry Potter books.
Okay,
with
so.
The new covers. These are my third edition.
Do you have a first edition?
Well, I have the ones that came out originally. This is not third edition. It's my third copy. I have like three. I have the hardbacks, paperbacks, and then the new paperbacks.
Okay, wait. But do you have actual first editions?
Most likely. I mean, again, I bought the books
worth so much money. It's insane how much they're worth. Okay, so listen, how many books are in the series? For anybody who doesn't know.
There are 7 books in the actual physical Harry Potter the 7 Harry Potter books, and then there's like 3 kind of spin-offy books.
Okay. Well, we're not going spin-off. This is a direct sequel. This is book 8. This is what everybody wanted. The rumors are now coming true, and you are pitching the 8th book. Let's hear what you come up with.
Ugh. I don't know if anyone actually... The story wraps itself up so nicely. I don't know why you'd want an eighth book. I could see a prequel series. I could see a spin-off series that has to deal with Harry's kids at Hogwarts.
That could be book 8 then.
Okay. All right.
Let's see what you got.
Well, he'd be a first year. We'll say this is... Ooh, you know, do you make it Harry's son or do you... I think he had a daughter too. I should look this up. Do you go again with like Harry Potter kid, or do you do?
Or do you go with like, Mary Potter?
Yeah, that's probably not her name. Harry Potter's kid. His name is Albus Severus Potter.
Into this right now.
Harry Potter. I'm googling it because I don't know what it is. Harry Potter's children. Here we go. What are your names? Oh my gosh.
Quick.
I'm trying. There's just, why can't you just give me a direct answer? I just need to know what his freaking...
You don't have to have names. You could just go on it.
I do have to. Okay. Well, really? Okay. Their daughter's name is Lily Luna. It's dumb name. Born in 2008. Went to Hogwarts, I guess. Is it graduated or the time they went? 2019?
Oh,
so, ooh, it could be like modern day.
There you go.
Let's see. Oh, it's It needs to be a girl. I feel that Harry had seven books to himself. So, you know, there's a boy. So now we need a female lead.
Okay. So we have a female lead.
Yeah. So Lily. Okay. So what's her deal? You know, he was the boy who lived with the Voldemort and all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. So what?
Ooh, how about she's the one who, how about, because Harry Potter is such a big name now around school, like she's just living in his shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to prove herself to come out of that shadow as a person of her own, because she's always getting picked on and be like, oh, you're just Harry's daughter.
Right. And she's the youngest out of all of his children, too.
So that's a huge, that's a steep mountain to climb.
Yeah, so you could say like the two older brothers or whatever, maybe they live up to daddy's standards, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Oh, man, and maybe, okay. All right, so in the Harry Potter universe, if you're not born with magic and you come from a magical family, you're called a squib, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe they're really worried, like, oh, crap. Like, maybe she doesn't have any magical powers.
It's a secret, and she really does. She has, like, this major, major untapped ability that just hasn't come out yet.
Right, and that's what the whole series could kind of be leading up to. But, like, you know, she gets there, and she's living in the shadow of her, Someone just won the game. Carlos won again. Congratulations. I'll get in touch with you to win Gone Home. You ruined my flow, bro.
Yeah, he was really, really, really getting into this.
I didn't even forget what I was saying. Okay, so yeah, she gets to the school and they're kind of worried because she doesn't have, like, she just sucks, but her two older brothers are, like, really good, and they're living in their parents' footsteps and stuff, and she gets there and, like, just can't really do anything, and that's, you know, she's picked on by the other kids, and I'm sure Malfoy's, that douchebag, probably has a kid there, too.
Yeah, he's got to be involved somehow.
Yeah. And, like, maybe she tries out for the Quidditch team because Harry was really good at Quidditch and her older brothers are really good at Quidditch and, like, they're the Seekers and stuff or were. Maybe they still would be because they'd probably at the school the same time she is. And, like, she just sucks. She just can't even fly on a broom. So it's just like, wow, how are you even, like, related to him? Because you were just not even remotely as good as a witch.
Okay, so who could we see as, like, people you wouldn't expect to come back? Who's coming back? Like, is there any teachers that are still around?
McGonagall would probably be the headmistress at this point in time. I don't know. There's probably, like, some really hardcore Harry Potter fans that know all this stuff, like, more than I do. Like, because I don't really know much past, you know, I don't know what happens after the books. It's all speculative. There's, like, a one epilogue chapter.
You're making it. You're making the book.
I know. What I'm saying is that I'm going to be like, oh, McGonagall's the headmistress.
Okay.
Like, she died in 2006.
Okay, like, listen. That hasn't been written yet because it's all just fanfare. So this is, you're making the book. Like, you're creating the story. Well, so she could very well be the headmaster.
Okay. Well, then she is.
Just go with your passion.
All right. So she's now the headmistress, whatever you're going to call it, of Hogwarts, right? And man, that she would really be the only one to come back. And maybe that's the thing, is, you know, Harry had, like, this bond with Dumbledore, so maybe McGonagall helps out Lily Potter.
Do you think we can get Dumbledore in, like, a maybe like a mystical vision or something?
I don't know, that bro dead.
Yeah, but dead people come back. I mean, look at Harry's parents.
That's true. Well, but they only sort of come back depending on the circumstance, like the Mirror of Eris Edwards, not mm-hmm. actually.
So he
them.
Could,
just,
I mean, listen, well, work them in.
We can. This is easy. I already know how he could be there. In the headmaster's office, there's paintings of all the old headmasters and headmistresses and stuff of Hogwarts. And what do we know about the Harry Potter universe? They fucking talk. Mm-hmm. They talk to you. It's almost like a part of them is still in existence. So that being said, Dumbledore could obviously still be in the there because his picture is there, and I think he even kind of makes an appearance a little bit in the seventh book because of his painting, like in a hey bro, you're not alone.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, remember that I'm here.
I'll be always here for you,
or something. I don't really remember, that's a long time ago. I read that book in like 2007, so it's been
okay. So what's the climax? What's going to happen here? Who's the bad guy?
That's the good question. I mean, how do you do? I mean, Voldemort was such a good bad guy. How do you top that without? Because Voldemort was like the bad of the bad. So how do you? What's worse than that? You know, like he was like Satan. What's worse than Satan?
A good guy gone bad.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what. I mean.
Well, I mean, like deception in front of your face without you even knowing it, and then all of a sudden. Like, maybe Harry Potter dies.
I'm not ready to kill Harry Potter yet. Maybe that'll happen later. I don't want to be the cause of the death of Harry Potter.
You got to have something, man. You know, like, maybe history repeats itself and this person or whatever is after the Potter family because maybe their name was ruined in the school or whatnot, and they rise up and become this huge evil presence and... You know, but maybe his best friend, they're best friends with Lily, and then get invited into the Potter household, kills Harry, and then we have a oh crap moment. You don't want it to happen.
I don't want Harry to die. That just ain't his thing.
It's not his thing.
He ain't gonna die.
We gotta have some. Okay, then have his wife die.
Yeah, I see. I could kill Jenny because I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Done deal.
Okay. All right. Done deal. But don't make that book one. That's really dark for, you know, you got to kind of, you
yeah,
have to
you'll
do this
ease
series.
Into it. You got to introduce everybody, but still, like, that's got to, okay. So really, we're pitching like a new 8-book series.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're starting with year one, I mean, yeah, you're starting essentially with.
You're just introducing.
Yeah.
Hogwarts is rebuilt. It's better than ever. The defenses are even better than before.
Exactly. And again, it takes place in like 2008 versus, I mean, technically the Harry Potter books take place in like 91, because the events of Hogwarts, the Battle of Hogwarts takes place in 97 in the books. In the movies, obviously it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe there's, you know, she's always got a cell phone.
It's been... I don't know about that. I mean, but they would have to almost advance in a way also because the rest of the world is advanced too, where, you know, 97, no, you know, people didn't really have cell phones. They didn't have the ability to text. So that was not something they had in their lives, but the rest of the world has it. So obviously that means the, you know, wizards and stuff would have to have advanced in a way better than, you know, the Muggles did, essentially. So if I can text and talk to someone in the class on my phone, what are they doing that's better than that?
Mind control.
Well, no.
Mind bullets.
It's telekinesis, Kyle. But so anyways, I don't, the, you know, first one big bad, maybe there is just, you know, maybe there is someone coming after the family. Maybe someone, it is kind of what you're talking about where it's like, a teacher infiltrates, bad guy.
Ooh, maybe they tie up Harry and Harry Potter is taken and he's in, you know, in the real world where he's not really, you know, well, he can't use, I mean, he could use his magic, but his wand's gone. They take his wand and everything and it becomes like a, you know, we don't kill him, but we capture him.
I was even going to say maybe one of the older siblings that's at the school. That way you can kind of, you know, Harry's had his story, so we leave them out of it for now.
Mm-hmm.
Really focus in on the daughter and
just
like her
Harry,
at school.
Man.
So make it one of the older brothers. But the same thing where she has to tap into that magic that she doesn't know that she has to save her brother.
Yeah,
where the whole
true.
Time she's like, you know,
and maybe
I can't
at the end of the book, there's something, you know, like maybe her anger or her fear is what brings it out that she, because she's a really calm soul. And so maybe, you know, it's like she's like, and then end of book one.
Exactly. And then, you know, so it just goes from there. And like this person that came in is actually a part of a bigger ring of like Voldemort supporters that still exist that have been underground. And their plan is to like assassinate all of the people that involved with the taking down of Voldemort.
That's good.
In the
I
books.
Like that.
So then you make it a big series and you do another 7 books.
Well, folks, there it is. There's our pitch for book 8 of Harry Potter. I hope you enjoyed it. Now, let's get on to what are you watching? Dance, Doug, dance. Dance,
okay.
Dance for your fiance because she's about to walk in with a bikini on.
No, she's not.
She said, don't test me. So I just double dared her right there.
Are you watching closely?
You looked. You looked. Fucking dog.
I just know that there's a lag on this thing. So now that you've challenged her, and now there's like a 5-10 second lag, it's just like.
All right, what have you been watching, man?
What have I been watching? That is a good question.
What have you been watching? What have you been reading? What have you been doing?
All right, still playing some of the Walking Dead on Steam. Season 1, finished episode 3, about halfway through episode 4. Such a good game. Oh, my gosh. I had to kill a zombie, and it was literally the saddest thing I've ever done. Like, it was sad. Mm. Killing a zombie was sad. Oh, that part of that game is going to stick with me forever.
I still haven't gotten into it, man. I just, now, it's so slow for me.
Oh, the story is so good, though. It's so good. Oh, my gosh. haven't really been playing a whole lot other than that. I've been reading, still reading the same stuff, the X-Heroes and the King in Yellow. Watching, I finished season 2 of House of Cards, which was freaking great. So good. Also, obviously True Detectives and all that stuff as well. Black Sails finally got really good this Sunday. Finally. We talked about it yesterday afternoon about how I was like, man, this show needs to ramp up. Mm. And boy, did it. Last night's episode was awesome. So if it keeps up, it could totally make up for the rest of the season. Like the awesome. First 4 episodes. It got good in episode 5.
Yay.
I started a documentary on Netflix called oh my gosh, like Nightmare Factory or something like that, I think it was called. And it is a documentary following Greg Nicotero, who is one of the makeup artists and directors and showrunners of The Walking Dead, but it follows him in his studio, and they do a lot of the visual effects for and makeup effects and stuff, bringing The Walking Dead, the Predator movies, you know, his work. He did Day of the Dead with George A. Romero. They just did so many movies. Evil Dead 2. They did all these like great stuff. And so it's kind of like a documentary, you know, talking about like what they're doing now. They did stuff for Inglourious Bastards, like the swastika cut in the you saw Inglourious where they cut the swastika into their foreheads.
Yeah.
They did that. So they're talking about like what they're doing now, and then they go back and like how did he get started into this, and like watching all those old monster movies as a kid and all that stuff, and meeting George A. Romero when he was like 17 years old at like a restaurant in Pittsburgh, and George invited them out to the set for like Dawn of the Dead, and getting to meet Tom Savini, who did all the makeup and stuff for the George A. Romero zombie movies, and then how when they did Day of the Dead, they invited him out to come help with the makeup. Like, that's incredible.
That's really
like,
cool.
Man, what an awesome story. So that was really cool. It's on Netflix. I think it's called Nightmare Factory. Really cool. I'm a big fan of Greg Nicotero. I've loved what he's done with The Walking Dead, all of his interviews and stuff. He's just really well-spoken and seems like just such a cool guy. So it's really... That's what I've been watching. That's what I'm recommending this week. So and Proximity. Go watch Proximity by Phil Wright.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I have... I watched a couple movies this week. I watched We the Peoples. Do you know that one?
It's the Peoples. So I immediately know what you're talking. It's
Craig Robinson, Kerry Washington, and David Alan Grier. It actually was it wasn't amazing, but it was enjoyable enough to finish. So, another one I tried to get through was Almost Christmas. All is Bright. That was the one with, of course. Oh God, what's his name? Help me out here.
God. I don't know what you're talking about. What's it called?
Almost Christmas. Hold on.
Almost Christmas?
Yeah.
What's it about? Tell me what it's about.
I couldn't tell you because I didn't get through the first 15 minutes.
Oh, wow. It's that bad.
It just wasn't. I'm sorry. It's called Almost Christmas. It's All is Bright. It stars
With Paul Giamatti
and
Paul Rudd.
And, yeah. I didn't get through about 15 minutes. I tried to watch it with Ashley, and it didn't work. So... another thing that I watched was Proximity. Go see that on YouTube right now. It's pretty awesome. Or sorry, pretty great. Then, of course, I am watching House of Cards. That has blown my mind. Tonight, one of my favorite shows on TV is coming back.
Hannibal?
No. Come on, man.
What's tonight? It's Monday.
I'm going to let you
Hannibal.
Guess. Huh? Blacklist.
Blacklist.
Blacklist comes back on. And, of course, just the normal stuff, comic book men and everything. I'm so close to being done with Batman. I know I keep saying it. And also, I purchased Final Fantasy Online, the new MMO. I'm going to try it out tonight. And that's I've been doing. That's what I'm playing. That's my plan. That's what I'm doing. And that's that. So.
Very cool.
Very cool. All right, folks. That is another week of Real Talk, or as some people like to call it, RT. It's been a pleasure. It's sad that we won't talk to you again for another week on this podcast, but maybe we'll have some fun stuff coming up, more giveaways.
Oh, you know what we talked about the other night, and maybe we talk about it a little bit now, is that we talked about doing a Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, Real Talk, plays a game on Steam with people.
Thinking about doing a live stream of us playing video games with some of the fans. Also talking about playing with, of course, Kevin, who is a part of Real Talk. You've seen him a couple times on the show. He is going to be a regular guest on the show. We're gonna talk about doing that. Nothing's set in stone yet, but look out. We may start it.
Yeah, we've talked about it. Maybe we'll do it. We want to do it for sure. We've talked about doing this weekend. We'll obviously keep you updated and post on Twitter and Facebook, as well as our Steam group, which you can find.
We have
still
Steam
just Real
group
Talk.
Too, so.
We have a lot of people in there now,
also,
which is really surprising.
If you are listening, help us out. Share us on your Facebook wall. Share us on your Twitter. Retweet our stuff. Get some more listeners in here. We can only do this as long as we have fans. And you guys have been great so far. And, we'd like to continue doing it for many, many years to come. So please do that. And we'll support you back by giving you some free shite.
That's right. So, and go listen to our interview with Ryan Connolly of Film Riot. Part one
you
is up right now.
You almost forgot
part two.
It, too.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, okay.
My phone buzzed because Kevin had to say something.
Okay.
Kevin, listening to our show, constantly commenting, being a distraction.
All right, everybody, that is our show for the week. I hope you enjoyed it. I am Jeremy.
And I'm Doug.
Keep your pants on.
What? Why?